This episode of the Beltline to Broadway podcast is brought to you by the Broadway Makers Marketplace, a theater shop by fans for fans in the heart of New York City. Visit the Broadway Makers Marketplace at the corner of 57th and 8th or broadwaymakersmarketplace.store. This is the Beltline to Broadway podcast. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, your host, and on this episode, I'm chatting with Chrissy Whitehead. Hi, everyone. I'm Lauren Van Hamert, and on this episode of Beltline to Broadway, I'm chatting with multi-hyphenate performer Chrissy Whitehead. You might say Whitehead's career began at the age of 14 when she appeared in a community theater production of A Chorus Line. That experience perhaps foreshadowed what was to come for her, which is where our conversation begins. So talk to me about the journey from doing A Chorus Line in high school in South Carolina to making your Broadway debut in A Chorus Line.
I know, right? That was crazy. I was 14 when I was in high school. Actually, I think I was in eighth grade when I did it. And it was at a community theater, and then I fell in love with acting, and I fell in love with storytelling, and I thought these honest stories are just so amazing to witness on the stage, and I thought, I want to do that. How do I do that? But then I was like, well, I'm very much a dancer. I got to keep working on my voice. I guess going back, I started at 3 as a dancer, and I was very heavily a competition dancer and a ballet dancer, and really loved it. Went to New York when I was 12 years old. Was like, what is this city? I have to be in this city. I have to be here. I have to be in this energy. And then when I was 18, I did an audition for the Rockettes, and I got it. So I kept deferring school, and then I went to do for musical theater, and so I trained in musical theater. So that's how, you asked me, how did I get from, you know, workshop community theater to Broadway? A lot of hard work.
So talk to me about your journey with Chorus Line. You had the show, the Every Little Step show.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting process of getting into a show. That's like a whole other
beast.
So what was that experience like?
It's just a lot of back and forth. It's a lot of hopes and possible rejection and a lot of hopes. And I mean, you get to see me land the role in Every Little Step. So it's like, I think that you kind of get to see what it was like for me. I was very emotional. My mom was a big part of it. There's a part of her screaming in the phone when I tell her that I got the job because they told me on the spot, which doesn't happen, by the way. It does not happen like that. And then my mom is no longer here. So to have that documentary and to hear her voice and to hear her screaming for me, it gets me every time. Because I'm like, oh, there's my mom.
There she is. I feel like when I do these interviews, there's always a teacher, a mentor, somebody who kind of sets
the tone.
Artists on a path. Yeah. So who was that for you?
I definitely had a drama teacher in high school, Donna Wilson, who believed in me. She was amazing. She did a lot for the arts and theater. Mm-hmm. I had my dancer, Nancy Giles, from Southern Strut Dance Studio. I had my ballet artistic director, William Starrett, with the Columbia City Ballet. So those three people were very heavy in my upbringing. And then when I got to AMDA, the one I've really held on to the most is Elaine Petrikoff, who is the head of the musical theater department at AMDA. She was my very first teacher in musical theater and taught me about acting, and she studied directly with Sanford Meisner. And she was strong but nurturing, kind and loving, but like, about the work. And I know that I'm the teacher that I am today based on her sprinkles inside of me in that musical theater class. And then up to the point where my career, since I started as a dancer in the last 21, 22 years, I've worked now as an actress in film and television. I've worked as an actress with a lead role on musical theater and film and TV. Like, I've gotten the gamut because I wanted to be I wanted to do more than just dance. And I really appreciate her. And she then hired me, right, to be in musical theater and to be a coach, which is what I'm doing now. And so I'm coaching these amazing college students in New York City, and I'm also directing them in their showcases. So, it's been really a beautiful thing, a beautiful trajectory coming from dancing to actress to singer to now director, choreographer, coach, and mentor.
There are a lot of young people, aspiring performers, who follow this podcast. What advice would you give to them?
You gotta believe in your craft. You gotta believe in your gifts that you feel called to. You gotta believe in them, meaning you're like, yeah, I got something. And then you gotta go, now let's go do the fun work. It's all about the work for me. It's like a healthy mindset, a joy in the work. Practice makes progress. I go off on these mantras all the time to just stay in the work, in the joy of the work. If you really want it, you just gotta go for it. You get the sky's the limit. If you have the capacity and you are lucky enough to be able to have support and financial support to go to a school that you would love to go to, how amazing is that? But then go to work. You know, the work will never lie. The work will never lie. When you don't do the work, it shows. So I love it. I love the work. I love the play. I love the rehearsal. I love trying to get to the heart of it. I, for me as a teacher, I really want to bring out everybody's authentic self to the role. And I want them to feel empowered, heard, listened to. We come up with things together. It's so cool. It's really cool. Education is such a gift to be able to give it.
And truly having somebody who's been in the business, who can guide you and give you the right advice?
Or just, I wouldn't say the right advice for me. I would say some advice.
Some advice.
Because my journey is different. From lived experience, this is what I experience.
Yes.
However, your journey is going to be different than my journey, you know? And you may hit it off, like, you may hit the ground running right out of college. And then you go, boom. And then you go beep, bop, beep, bop, beep, bop. I mean, I literally say this to people all the time. I'm doing like the heart rate going up and down right now, if you can't hear me, but if you can't see me. And so the heart rate is going up and down. And then sometimes the heart rate shoots straight up and that's your career. And you're like, woohoo, I've made it. And then you like crash and burn. And you're like, oh my God, I have no job right now. It's learning to live peacefully in the balance in between your work and that you are not your resume. We have all of our self-worth is put into our resume. But it's how are you being?
How are you showing up?
How are you showing up?
How are you showing up to the world?
So we really focus, I mean, I focus on that no matter where I'm at, whether that's BAC, my company, or AMDA, or directing and leading a troupe of actors, you know? When you think about the reality of it, it's still show business. So it's show fun, and also it's a business. So
it's a business.
It's a business. And you gotta show up, and you gotta do your part. And that's the other thing that theater is, it's a village. Right? It takes a village. So it doesn't matter about a principal is amazing. You know, everybody needs to be in this together. We're all in this together. As they say in the High School Musical, as I get a little cheesy on you.
We're all in
this together. Yeah. I love it.
Can we talk about the evolution of dance on Broadway in theater? Because honestly, you look at a show like A Chorus Line, and not that the choreography is simple. The choreography isn't simple in any show, but when I look at like A Chorus Line, and then I look at a show like Chicago, and then I look at a show like The Rockettes' Christmas Show, and up to shows like Hamilton, where the choreography is just so intense. And what is that evolution of dance in theater look like for you being in this business?
So interesting that you asked that, because like I'm finding my voice right now as a director and a choreographer, and I think there's so much to what we do is to pay homage to what came before us, and then how we take that, like everything people are doing now is all still morphing from what was the beginning of dance. We're just finding different ways to move. The talent is getting better. People just keep getting better, right? We keep evolving. I mean, look at us with technology. How can you expect us to not evolve in our bodies? And athletes too. It's like we're all evolving. Human beings are evolving. So the evolution of dance is that it's getting I don't know, I think it can get more intricate, it can get softer, it can get cooler, it can get harder, it can get, has a lot of texture to it that I think because musical theater is changing, because we are changing, right? Because we are changing as people, I am so excited to see the body of work, and like Hamilton started it. Well, no, people have been starting it from way before, but Lin-Manuel did an incredible job. I mean, absolutely stellar job of like rocking everyone's boat when it comes to casting and when it comes to just the human heart and condition. And it doesn't matter. It blew my mind. He blows my mind. And so it's people like that that are not afraid to step outside of a comfort zone. And it all started from him writing for himself. I mean, he was like, I don't see myself. I don't see myself in roles. I got to write it. Good for him, you know? Yes. And so then that opens up how many more doors for so many other people. So I guess I got off track for a second, but it was just we'll go back to dance. Dancing is evolving based on the stories that are being told.
Well, and dance has become such an integral part of the storytelling, which is what I love about seeing theater now. And the other thing I want to talk about is the transformative power of art and theater. You're working with a group of students in Kenya. Can you talk about your work with them and how theater and art is that universal language that connects all of us?
It's hard to talk about sometimes because I think about how much I love these kids. It started out as a dancer buddy friend of mine who I went to dance school with reached out to me over COVID when we were all just a mess during June, July, and said, hey, I teach these kids in Africa. Do you want to teach them on Zoom? And I was like, what? I was like, yes. Yes, and yes, yes, I will do that. I had no idea what I was getting myself into. And it was six little boys that were 11 years old. And they are from Artists for Africa is the program, which is the boarding house. It's the housing system that takes them out of the slums and into a home with Cooper Rust, who's another fellow South Carolinian, who's a ballet dancer, and she's the real angel of this whole thing. But she started this home because she started teaching in the slums, in the public schools, and then would find these little gems that loved it and felt it, and then would take them and bring them to Dance Center Kenya, which was the local dance center that she was running as a dance teacher. Okay, so then she became their like mom, their like host mom. And she's like in her early 30s. So she's amazing. And so basically I started teaching them on Zoom for a summer program. And the summer program was just 3 days. And I've posted on my stories before, nobody's really gonna wanna do this, but if you looked back, you could see, I just posted again, I'm doing a fundraiser right now called A Dollar for Francis, because basically those six boys, she did everything she could to fundraise, and I said, what can I do? Can I sponsor? I want to keep teaching them. And when I teach these boys, they're right there with me on Zoom. Like, they are, like, engaged and, like, even with technical difficulties and bad, oh, my God, we're in Kenya, for God's sakes. I mean, I couldn't believe I was teaching these kids teleporting. Talk about evolution, evolving. I can teach students in Kenya. So then after that, I said, I want to keep teaching more. I want to do more. And I was like, I can do one a week. I'll do 1 hour a week with these students. And so I've been doing it since then. And they've gotten better and better and better. And they do it in their home. And I'm super grateful that they came into my life. Because now we started brainstorming with Youth Theater Kenya, Dance Center Kenya, and Broadway Arts Community. So me and my best friend, Alexis Kara, she's the co-founder with Broadway Arts Community, and we are having plans now to go over to Kenya and teach about 60 students from all over Kenya, but give them the Broadway Arts Community summer program experience. So we're going next spring. So if you want to Venmo me at Chrissy Whitehead, and I'm asking a dollar. That's it.
Oh, I love this so much. And transformative power of art.
I mean, it transforms. It transforms my life. I mean, I have a life in the arts. I make a living doing this. I love it.
Can we talk about West Side Story? Are we allowed to talk about West Side Story?
I think. I mean, I got so lucky to get a call from my manager saying Steven Spielberg wanted to audition for the prostitute role. They wrote in some roles. That's some kind of cool. You might probably know this already, but they've written in some roles to kind of flesh out the script a little bit more. Tony Kushner came in and definitely, like, fleshed it out even more. So this was a written in part for, like, a moment. So I do the audition. It's three lines. I was like, I don't care. I will do anything for Steven Spielberg. Are you kidding? So a month goes by, and then they call and they say, you know what? They're not going with the prostitute role, but they actually want to offer you the unscripted female social worker. I said, unscripted? I was like, what does that mean? What does that mean? She was like, I don't know. Maybe it means, like, you might get a line when you get there. I don't know. She was like, but regardless, you're getting paid as an actress for a week to do the dance at the gym. So I was like, yes, I will be there. I could care less if you don't blink, you probably won't see me. I'm in the background and you won't even recognize me. They teased out my hair. I look like I'm 60, and I like teased out like that old styly hair, pearls, cat eye glasses. I named my character Essie Bobenstein. I said, this is the girl from New York who was like organizing the whole thing. She was very excited about the whole dance at the gym. Oh yeah, like you guys, I totally did my work. Just so you know, in case you see Essie Bobenstein, even though she's credited as female social worker. What I loved was watching the choreographer and Steven Spielberg literally just being like, they'd shoot, the dancers would dance, and then they would be done, and they'd go, cut! And they'd be like, yeah! And they would totally be like, I had like goosebumps all the time because there was so much joy. And then Steven would literally go, come here. He let all the dancers watch the playback. I still have chills thinking about it. I've been in this business for over 20 years, and I've been a dance double for a film in Save the Last Dance. Like, nobody will tell a dancer, come back here and watch playback. He went overtime. He was not concerned. He wanted to do it right. What I watched him do on the dance at the gym, and everyone's lovely, guys. Everyone, all the actors. Ariana DeBose,
North Carolina.
Hello. Yeah, and she and I, fun fact, I was in Company with Neil Patrick Harris. So if you haven't seen that was at Lincoln Center. It's filmed with great performances. And Ariana DeBose's first gig was one of the dancers in that with me. So funny. So she's sitting with me going, how's this feeling like to you? You're not dancing in the like, are you all right? Because I'm standing on the sidelines as a female social worker. There was one day where I was like making choices. You know, make your choices, actors. So I'm like, and it's because there's a big wide shot. So it's a crane shot, which means that the camera is like wide up. Okay, and so this is where we're doing the full wide shot where everybody's doing the whole ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-da, you know, they're all doing it. So I had my moment and I was like, okay. So I'm in the middle of like grumpy Gladhan and officer, you know, Brian D'Arcy James is so good. He's just kind of like, you know, and so I was like, okay, well, I got to be like something different.
Do something.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to be me. I'm going to be like, I totally organized this and I'm very excited. So as the sharks are dancing, no, sharks are over here, jets are over here. So when the jets are dancing over here, I'm like, oh my God, they're all here together. So I just start dancing and I dance like this for the, I clap my hands very like tightly for the jets. And then for the sharks, I'd be like, snaps. And I just get so excited. And then I'd be like, oh, they're just doing so good. And then they would not have anything to do with me. So I'd be like, you can't see my face. Sorry. But I literally was like trying to like be involved and I had a great time. So here's the deal. Steven Spielberg does that whole scene, and he decides to tell everybody to go home. And I actually got to have a moment where it was just five of us, all lead characters and me, in a lineup, right, when anybody comes in with Tony. And then the three of us are here, right? So they walk in, and then we're standing here on the sidelines, and it's supposed to be that same setup that you just saw in the wide shot that I was having a ball with, right? So he comes over, and I'm like, wow, I've got some intimate time because, you know, he's been far away or whatever. It's like the day three or something, and he goes, okay. So he comes over to me, and he gives direction to Gladhan, and he says, okay, so yeah, Chrissy, I just need you to just look over this way and just be watching the students. I was like, okay, great. But then I went, Mr. Spielberg. He said, I said, I just want to let you know that the last shot that we did it, I was kind of like enjoying and having fun with the dancers in it a little bit. And he was like, okay, yeah, that's great. That's good. That's fine. You can do that. I was like, okay, great. So we go to do it. And he has an iPad monitor. Okay, so we go to do it, and I'm doing it, and I know, you know, I know in my head, this is a little tighter shots, okay? It's like right in our faces, okay? I do it. He has the iPad, and he's looking down at the iPad. He looks up at me, looks down at the iPad again. He's watching the playback, looks at me, and he goes, I think you can enjoy it a little less. I think you can enjoy it a little less. And in my teacher brain, I was like, yes, that's what we teach, yes. Is that you can always tell somebody to take it down, but it's really not as, it's not good direction to tell somebody, like, I need more.
Take it up.
Yeah. And so I did it again, and I had my little fun, and I did my little, and I did it, and I did it. It will not be in the movie. Don't hold your breath, not like you are. But anyway, watch those gorgeous dancers. I'm on the sideline having a great time. It was amazing.
I love this. I feel like we got the little sneak peek.
Well, this is what the podcast is for, right?
Yeah, this is.
I was like, I got the story. I got the story.
Well, thank you. Thank you. This is so fun.
Thank you so much for having me, Lauren. This was really lovely.
Chrissy Whitehead can be seen in the film West Side Story during the dance in the gym scene. So yes, her moment made the cut. You can also find out more about the Broadway arts community and her master classes on her website. I'll put links to that, along with the Artists for Africa program she mentioned, in the episode notes. I also want to thank the Broadway Makers Marketplace in New York City for letting me set up my mobile studio inside their pop-up shop. If you're looking for Broadway-inspired merch created by fans for fans, you've got to check them out at the corner of 57th and 8th in the Underground Market or online at broadwaymakersmarketplace.store. If you like what you've heard today, please consider subscribing to this podcast. Follow us on social media, on Facebook or Instagram at Beltline to Broadway, or visit us online at www.beltlinetobroadway.org. Until next time, I'll see you at the theater.